If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, as you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory.
Thank you, and good evening, church. And as we had the Bible reading in Ephesians 3, kindly open there again. We'll be looking at some verses from that text that Joel read for us. As we come there, opening in Ephesians chapter 3, let's ask God's blessing in this time under his word. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that your grace, your riches are immeasurable, and your Spirit is a spirit of liberty and a spirit that is free and flowing. Thank you that it is in us as your church. And thank you, Lord, that you bring your word to remembrance. And I pray that tonight you would bring these words to our mind and to our hearts, to our spirits, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would make this a living word to us. Lord, that we would not come unto it with a closed heart, but that we would come with an open heart, beholding your word. And I pray it would transform us, for it is a practical word. It is a living word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use my feeble frame and use your powerful word and your powerful spirit to enliven your church tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 3 tonight. We've been looking at a number of A's, actually, that we've found and discovered in these texts, because in the book of Ephesians, Paul the Apostle writes to this church who are a group of believers, though poor physically, in great poverty, yet they possessed amazing riches in Christ Jesus, as we've just been singing, these unsearchable riches in Christ. And so Paul is encouraging the church, he's challenging the church, and he speaks first of the alienation, and that alienation where those who were apart from the kingdom of God and apart from the king, from the covenants that belong to Israel, are now through access, this way of access, adopted into this kingdom. So we looked at three sermons. We looked at alienation, how, you know, there's separation from God's kingdom. If you're apart from God, you are none of his. And then we looked at the way of access, how that Jesus Christ has paved the way of access. There's no other man in history. There's no other way. There's no system of religion that can save you. But it's only through the blood of Christ and the access that he's made. And then last time, we looked at adoption. And we observed that, I'll just go through the points very briefly, but last time we looked at how we're adopted in to this kingdom, and we're adopted in by God's choosing. God chose you in him before the foundation of the earth. It's God's doing and his choosing. And he adopted you into a foundation, sorry, into a family that's built upon a firm foundation. And that firm foundation is the cornerstone being Christ himself. We learned last time also that we're adopted into a holy family. It's a peculiar family set aside for good works. We learned last time that our adoption is confirmed by the Spirit of promise. If you're adopted by God, you have his Holy Spirit dwelling in you. This is what sets you apart from others. It's the living word and the living spirit within you. It's not a system of religion. We also learned that we receive this adoption by grace. And Paul explained this in this mystery that is unfolding here in this text, that before time began, God had it in his perfect plan to bring all manner of people into his kingdom, from all nations, tongues, and tribes, that the covenants of God that he had with the people of Israel would come to fruition. And Paul is seeing this as the one who was sent to the Gentiles. And so we've received this adoption by grace, both Jew and Gentile. And what this does for us, brother and sister, is this adoption unites us as a body. And so that's the last point, the sixth point we went through last time when we looked at this text last month. Well, you might have guessed it, but there is another A in here. And it's this idea of ambassadorship. It's this idea of being an emissary, an ambassador for Christ. And Paul is modeling that. And Paul is the one that could boldly say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And Jesus was the greatest ambassador. He came from the Father of light. He came from heaven above. And he came to this sinful world to preach good tidings of peace to the lost. And so Paul, he models Christ's life and he says to the church, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And he came and he has his particular focus to the Gentiles. And I want to particularly focus tonight on verses 7 to 13. As Joel, thank you, read for us verses 1 to 13. I want to particularly focus on verses 7, if we could look there please tonight. And we look at this specific calling that Paul had to the Gentile, these aliens, as it were, who are apart from the covenants of God. He states now that in the sixth verse that they are now partakers of the promise that we share in. He, as a Jew, as the Jew of Jews, writes this and he says, this is now open to all. It is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, but all who are in Christ are partakers of the promise of the gospel, the good news, the good news. And Paul is this instrument that God is using, and he's using Paul mightily through the early church. We see him working, we see him right through. We're going to look at a few verses in the book of Corinthians and in Philippians. We're going to look at all the churches that Paul is touching right across this part of the world. And Paul is God's instrument. He's the ambassador. And I wonder tonight, to whom are we sent? To whom are you sent as an ambassador? To whom are you sharing the unsearchable riches of Christ tonight, this week? Because we are his ambassadors. And I want to look tonight at these verses. And I want us to particularly focus in on these verses from 7 to 13 and consider the qualities of an ambassador, who Paul was, how he lays his heart on the line. He's a minister. And let's read this in verse 7. He becomes a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to him by the effective working of God's power. To me, Paul writes, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. I want to make this challenge to us tonight as a church to imitate Paul as he imitated Christ. Yes, indeed, to imitate Christ, who is the very reflection of God the Father, who was the greatest emissary or sent one who came to the earth to save sinners. And I want to list several, and I want to go through several statements tonight regarding this very thing, being an ambassador for Christ that Paul models for us here. And firstly, in verse 7, we see here that Paul becomes a minister of the gospel. He becomes an ambassador of this gift of grace. And he knows that the calling is of God. So the first statement is an ambassador of Christ knows the calling and power is of God. I wonder today we look around, we see an ambassador of any nation sent into a foreign land. Do you think he is self-called? No. He is called by his government to go. He is called to go by the very nation. And he represents a nation in that other land. He is an ambassador. He is not self-called. What a tragic thing that a minister should go, that anyone should be sent and preach a different gospel. God has not sent that person. What a tragedy it is when someone comes and says, I speak on behalf of God, and yet he doesn't belong to him. And so Paul knows that this power is not of himself. He was a very religious person. He was a Jew of the Jews. He knew the Old Testament back to front. And yet, now, only now, after receiving the Spirit of God, receiving salvation, is he truly born again of God's Spirit, and is he truly sent to preach the true gospel? The very thing that saves, because religion couldn't save. The old covenant, the Old Testament promises couldn't save. It was the good news of the gospel that saves sons of men. And so Paul goes with this revelation now, and he speaks, and this is power that he receives from on high. And so any ambassador knows that the calling and power is of God. In fact, in Galatians 1 verse 7, Paul says that there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And Paul saw this firsthand. And he says, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And he repeats himself and he says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Brother and sister, this is not a seven-step self-improvement program. This is not some religion that you need to work your way to be able to receive salvation. This is the glorious gospel of Christ. And if you and I are an ambassador, if you and I, which we are, have a calling to share the good news of the gospel, know that this power is not of yourself. Know that the words you speak are not your own words. Now you might take the text and you may explain this around a coffee to someone. You may sit down with someone in lunch and you may not be quoting Hebrew or Greek to that person. You'll be explaining it in your words, but you won't be preaching another message. You cannot preach another message. You cannot preach something that falls short of the perfect gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's a perfect word. Now we are imperfect beings, but we preach a word which is unchanging. We preach a gospel that we do not pervert. And Paul uses very strong language here, and he says there are some who are troubling you and coming in and perverting this gospel. And there are false teachers today, even as there were back then. And they sway between license and lasciviousness. They go from one extreme to the other. We're through license, where you have to work your way with rules that are above scripture rules, or the other loose side, where, you know, it's okay, just believe and you're right and you'll get right with God. Just say a prayer and you'll be right. And there's no focus on a changed life. There's no focus on whether that person is truly born again of the Spirit of God. And Paul says, no. As an emissary, I must preach, I must speak the truth. I cannot change the meaning of the message. I must be true to it. So you and I, brother and sister, we may not be preaching to crowds. We may not be preaching with wooden pulpits, but we may be speaking to someone over a coffee. We're still a sent one. We are an emissary. We're an ambassador of Christ. Whether we go to a Muslim person or a Hindu person or a Jehovah's Witness or any other person who is lost, lost in their sin, a religious or non-religious person, maybe a sport fanatic. And we have an opportunity to preach the gospel. We have an opportunity to share the good news of Christ. We cannot change the meaning of the message. We cannot water it down. Nor can we put a stumbling block in people's ways. And so, brother and sister, know this, the power is of you. And you know, there are moments like that where you're in great weakness. You're in great weakness. You might be shy. You might be unable to clearly articulate. But know that the power is not of you, brother and sister. You're a sent one. And God has put power in us. We may not be as Paul, we're not as Paul, but we are still ambassadors. We may not be called to a whole nation, but we are called to our neighbors. We may not be called to speak from a pulpit, but we are to share in the school ground, in the university, in our place of employment. For we are the sent ones, and we are ministers. We are servants of this amazing gospel. But you cannot change the word, brother and sister. The calling, you see, is not of yourself. But if you're a saved person today, if God would do this for you and me, if he would take you from being an alien, from the furthest part of God's kingdom, away from God's kingdom, sorry, and bring you through the way of access, through the blood of Christ, and adopt you into his kingdom as a child of God, he will not say it ends there. He has something more. He has a work, and that work is the work of an emissary or of an ambassador. For there are those still, we've gone through that. If you're saved, if you're a born-again child of God, if you're adopted into his kingdom, you are to speak the unsearchable riches of Christ to others, because there are other aliens who are right over there, who are apart from the kingdom of God, who are none of his, who are right at that spectrum where I was, who are apart from God, as far as the east is from the west, separated by their sins. And if I've come through that way of access, and I've been adopted into the kingdom of kingdoms, and I see them over there, I see the lost, I see the ones without the truth, I see the ones with religion, but not a reality of relationship and knowing Christ. Will you not speak the words of life to those who are lost? If we truly have come from that journey, if we've come, it's not our calling, it's God's. And the power is of God. It says here in verse 7 that the gift of grace is given to me by the effective working of his power. Paul becomes a minister of grace, a minister of truth, of the gospel to lost souls. And it's his power. What was that song we just sung? He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. You know, a young man who wanted to reach China for Christ, you know, sat in a hoarded accommodation in England, Hudson Taylor. And you know, he lived on a ration of apples to prepare himself to go to China. And he said this later in life, he said, depend on it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And you're probably familiar with that quote. Depend on it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And he says he is too wise a God to frustrate his purposes for lack of funds. And he can just as easily supply them ahead of time as afterwards. And he much prefers doing so. And that young man went to China and became an old man and went back and back and back and lived amongst the people and lived as they lived. And he could depend on God. He depended on God's power. He depended on God's provision. You see, the work of God and God's life, it's a spiritual work, but it's a physical work as well. In us, dependency on God, on physical things, on provisions, It's all of God. And if he looks after our bodies, won't he give us the words to speak when we meet with someone and we don't quite know how to articulate it, how to preach the gospel? His power is in us. Because it's not of us. If it depended on me, I wouldn't know what to say. If it depended on me, I would fall apart. But know this, it's his power in you. So know this, brother and sister, an ambassador for Christ knows that the calling and power is of God. And verse 8, the second point I want to raise tonight is that an ambassador must be humble. He must be humble. And look at what Paul says here. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unspeakable riches of Christ. He must be humble. You must be of no reputation. Look at him. He says here that I am the least of the least. And he really meant it. This was not false humility. This was not some kind of, middle-aged piety. This was truth. He truly humbled himself. And you know, by circumstance in his life and through illness and through chronic pain and through all of the rejection that he faced of his own people and being deserted even by those he depended on, Paul learned to depend on Christ and he was brought so low. He was brought so low through circumstance. And he says that I am the least of the least. And in one part of scripture, he said, I don't deserve this because I persecuted the church of God. I persecuted the church of God. And he lived such a life and such an existence that, you know, you look at look at Job in the Old Testament and you look at some of the sufferings that some of these men faced. And it is amazing how they were brought low. But they knew they were nothing. They knew they were nothing. And, you know, he says, it's almost a prideful thing, isn't it? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. You think, how can you? Wow, you need a lot to say that. You know, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But that did not come from a place of pride. It came from a place of brokenness and humility. And our Lord Jesus himself, he made himself of no reputations. Philippians 2:7 says, he took on himself the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The greatest ambassador known to mankind comes and humbles himself and becomes obedient to the death of a cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name. An ambassador must be humble. An ambassador must know that the power is not of him or of herself. You know, when you live a life, when you are spiritually proud, if you're a spiritually proud person, people see that afar off. You know, false humility and false religion, the world sees that and the world mocks that. The world sees that from afar. But if you come and you have no reputation, if you're of no reputation, if you humble yourself among people, it gives you a certain kind of key, an open door into people's lives. Not everyone, but, you know, maybe it's the cleaner at work that you share a joke with and you share a word with and you build a relationship with. The tea lady back in the day. The low-paid worker. Maybe the Hindu, the Muslim, the person in your workplace, whoever it might be. Maybe it's someone in your school who's cast aside and he's not in the popular crowd. Maybe it's the simple, the uneducated, the rejected. We must live by the reputation of, there but for the grace of God, go I. There but for the grace of God, go I. And so Paul, he models this and he says, I am the least, I'm less than the least of all the saints. How can you go lower than that? I'm less than the least. And he meant it. He meant it. An ambassador must be humble. I know in our land we have a fairly hard-hearted culture. There's a lot of hard-headed people out there who won't hear you, who won't listen, but don't be discouraged. It's easy to get prideful and resentful. Why should I keep carrying this ministry of reconciliation to people and be this ambassador? There's so many hard-headed ones around me. But we are called to go. We are called to go. And we might find the people in the highways and byways, as if it were, and compel the people to come, but we are called to go. We are called to preach. But if we're proud in heart, if we give up on people and we're proud in heart, if we're unwilling to stoop low to reach people, we'll not get far with men. We'll not get far with people. And so look at the example of our Lord Jesus, who said in Mark 10:45, as that example of the great servant who decreased, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And Paul actually touched on that verse this morning when he was speaking about the deacons. But look at this attitude of humility. You know, who was the greatest that lived among men, that was born of men other than Christ? It was John the Baptist. And what did he say? Jesus said of him, among those born of women, there is none greater than he. And when John the Baptist saw the Christ, he said, "I must decrease and he must increase." It's that attitude of humility. When he saw the Christ, he said, "I must decrease." He had this calling, he had this amazing ministry. Down by the river, the multitudes came and he baptized them with the baptism of repentance. He had an amazing ministry. And we saw the Christ. He said, I've got to go lower. I must decrease and Jesus must increase. That's that attitude. That's the spirit of humility. And that's the spirit that Paul exemplified. And I'm sure if he was here among us tonight, Paul would be the lowest of the low. If you spoke to him, you would see a man small in stature but mighty in power. You know, those who prayed with, those people who prayed with Hudson Taylor, said they went away from that prayer and their life was completely changed. You know, they saw a man on his face, on his knees, wailing to God for a nation. Humility, brother and sister. And Paul models it here for us. An ambassador must be humble. An ambassador also, in the next verse, verse 9, he must go to all men, and he makes all to see. He makes all to see. Here Paul is called to the Gentiles, but we're called to our sphere of influence. And this ambassador, Paul, he says, "I've come to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus." He's preaching, he's ministering this word of reconciliation, that you who were alienated and far away from God, you too can come through the way of access. You too can be adopted into this kingdom. And so he preaches and speaks this beautiful word, which was hidden in God, but now is being made manifold. Now is being shared and explained. And you know, Paul, he makes all to see. He makes all to see. He doesn't, you know, stop himself from going to the religious. He doesn't stop himself from going to those who have no idea about religious things. He goes to all. In 1 Corinthians 9:19, he says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win them all." That's still in that spirit of humility. He says, "Though I'm free from all men, I make myself a servant, a bondservant, almost a slave to all that I might win them. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. So whether it's to the Jew or to the Greek, he goes and he preaches a word of reconciliation. And he says in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 9, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Did he change the sense or the message of the gospel? Not one tittle. Not one tittle. You see, he did not change the message. He said, let me or anyone be accursed if this message would ever change, this message of the gospel. But the way I present it, I go to the weak with weakness. I go to those who are under the law in a certain way. I go to those who are without the law a certain way. I go to the Jew a certain way. I go to the Gentile a certain way. And in our culture, we are to go to men. We are to compel them to come into the kingdom. And so as an ambassador, are you praying? Are you honing your skills with people? To know how to approach them, to wait for that open door and that opportunity to speak. To have an opportunity to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Paul's heart is to win some by all means. He stoops low, he reaches high to win some for Christ. And brother and sister, we are called in our sphere of influence to reach men and women, boys and girls, with the gospel of Christ. What is your sphere of influence? Where can you reach someone? You're not called to a nation specifically. Maybe you're not called to preach in front of crowds, but have you sought to build a relationship with your neighbor, with a work colleague, with a family member, with someone in the schoolyard? Where is it that you can impact someone with the gospel of Christ? Paul was passionate about his preaching, and yet also as an ambassador, he suffered a lot. He had a godly burden, and I wonder, do you tonight have a burden for souls? Do you and I have a burden for souls? When you see alienation, you see the way of access open to you, you see the adoption that you've received in Christ Jesus. And in this short span of 80 years on this earth, give or take a few moments, how are you, brother and sister, impacting your circle of influence for Christ? Paul had this passion, and he said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Not I, but he says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. There is humility, and his passion comes through again. Imploring, begging, as it were. As Spurgeon said, of those falling into the abyss, if they go, then they go. But won't we stoop down and hold their knees and try and save them from that pit of hell? Brother and sister, compel people, implore people to be reconciled to God as ambassadors for Christ. Furthermore, we read here that an ambassador fulfills God's eternal purposes. And in verse 11, when Paul is explaining this mystery of the gospel, he says it's according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Earlier in this letter to the Ephesian church, he said, you're saved of grace. It's not your work, it's God's grace. You did not choose Christ, Christ chose you. And that's a fearful thing to behold. But it's also something that gives you great assurance. Because now when you go with the ministry of reconciliation, now you go, when you go with the gospel of good news, you know that it's not in you to save someone, but you know that someone will be saved because God has ordained it. It doesn't change our going. It doesn't change our sowing. It doesn't change the way we preach the gospel. God knows who are His. God knows His sheep. But we must go. For we as an ambassador are fulfilling God's eternal purposes. We are the sent ones, just as Paul was sent to the Gentiles to speak the unsearchable riches of Christ. So you and I are the sent ones to fulfill God's purposes. Don't be discouraged. Our culture can be hard. Our culture can be hard against this truth. But don't be discouraged. If at first someone rejects your words, try and try again. But if you've got to move on, move on. For those who reject the Savior are many. But as ambassadors, we are to go to compel the people to come in. You know, the Lord Jesus read out the words of Isaiah 61. In Luke chapter 4, He reads out the words of Isaiah 61 and says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And even upon this reading, and as He expounds the scriptures and says that they are now fulfilled in your hearing, soon afterwards they lead Him to the brow of a cliff to throw Him off. Look at the example of these men, of the men that preached the gospel in the early church, the apostles, and the very example of our Lord Jesus. It's not easy, but God gives you the words and God is fulfilling His eternal purpose every time you open your mouth of scripture with someone. Every time you open the scriptures with someone, every time you open your mouth with the scriptures with someone, His word will not return void. It will always accomplish the purpose it's set forth for. And sometimes, fearfully, it will condemn someone. When someone is in the agony of hell, the words will come to their mind that you and I have spoken to them. It is an awesome thing. It is a fearful thing. But brother and sister, go. Go. When you preach the word, when you speak the word, when you share one verse with someone, you are accomplishing an eternal purpose. You know, the Lord Jesus said that if you give a cup of cold water to a child in my name, you will certainly not lose your reward. You think, wow, that's fairly insignificant, right? I mean, a cup of water, we could quite easily do that tonight. And you know, feed the hungry, give something to someone in need, and it's somewhat small. It doesn't cost us much. You know, Jesus emphasized that's an important thing. How much more an eternal word? You know, a cup of water might save someone's life, physical life. You know, to go to the hungry, to go to the needy, to give them provision may save them physically. But what about the words of life, brother and sister? How much more important are the words of an emissary, of an ambassador? The words of life, when you speak them, speak the words of life, even in our hard-hearted culture and hard-headed culture, for you are indeed accomplishing God's eternal purpose. And the last point I just want to say tonight, an ambassador does go through hardships, and this is found in verse 13. And Paul says, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. And Paul went through hardships, and we've touched on a number of hardships. And you know, there's that verse where he boasts, his boasting passage in 2 Corinthians 11, 22, or even earlier, but in 22 he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And he goes on boasting. He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day. I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. And I think something that hurt him probably the most, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. In fact, in this book, Ephesians 6:20 later, he declares that I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And so, brother and sister, we don't look for hardships. We don't look for tribulations. No one in their sound mind does. But they do come. They do come in this life. And they do come when you speak the words of life. When you take this calling seriously to be an ambassador for Him. You will experience some anguish for this calling. But brother and sister, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Look at the examples of those who have gone before us. And so Paul, he declares here that he's an ambassador in chains, and he's still thinking about others. You know, he's in prison and he's thinking about others. It's amazing. Take some moments to speak to Eshwan after a service and ask him about the voice of the martyrs and some of those prison testimonies, or read them on the website or on the newsletter, and marvel at those who sit in cells and pray for those who persecute and torment them. Emissaries, sent ones. We may never face the coldness of a cell. The worst we may face is rejection by men. Brother and sister, go with the word. And so those who have gone before us, they're examples to us, are they not? And Paul, he says, you know, he's encouraged that by his chains there's more boldness to speak the word without fear. In Philippians 1:14, he says, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so as a byproduct of Paul's suffering, you see, the church see that and are emboldened. And I think today in our culture, in our age, if we would take a look into a prison cell, into a place where someone is sitting and is got jail time, or someone who's persecuted or beaten because they are ambassador for Christ, should we not be emboldened to preach Christ in our culture, even among those who are hard-headed? And you know, today if you are suffering for the gospel, today if you have faced rejection for the gospel, maybe you're here, or maybe you're listening in, or you will listen in at a later point. Know this, that Romans 8:17 says that if we are children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're adopted, right? We looked at that last time. If we're children, then we're heirs. But if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Brother and sister, we're not promised an easy road. But as emissaries, as ambassadors for Christ, we are called unto a narrow way. And whatever comes on that narrow way, we are to face that. But we do not face it alone. We face it with Christ. We face it with Christ. And the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And as we look into Paul's boastings and as we look into Scripture and as we consider the persecuted church today, we can say that I've not suffered like that. I've not suffered like that. But brother and sister, an ambassador will receive some level of difficulty in his or her work, in his or her calling. But to conclude tonight, in what we've gone through tonight, do we
go unto all the world and make disciples. You know, you may not be the one to go, but if not, be the one holding the word. You may not be the one that can travel, that can go on a trip, that can be an ambassador to another land, but be you. You may not be able to speak to crowds or in front of large groups, but speak to a friend or a colleague or a loved one and speak to them the unsearchable riches of Christ and the beauties of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the greatest example that has ever gone before us, our Lord Jesus. Consider his character. He was sent by the Father, and he was endued with power from above. He came to serve and was humble. He was the light of the world. He made all to see. He was the chosen one and fulfilled God's plan. He went through the greatest physical and mental torture known to mankind. And as he was separated from the Father on the cruel tree, he was still thinking about it. Father, they know not. He was the servant king. Lord, we pray today that we could just take a glimpse into this word tonight and just be quickened and awakened to our calling as ambassadors, as ministers. To be quickened in our words and in our language, to be quickened in our prayer life. Be seeking and searching to find those who are lost. Lord, I pray you would give us some this week. Pray that we might be able to speak words of life to you. Pray that you would give us opportunities to say a word, to speak a word in season, to hear those who are. And Lord, we leave the results to you. We thank you, Lord, for your word and prayer. You would take it, and you would bring to remembrance all things that you are so in your sight.